God bless you, dear ones. The Lord is with you. There are certain things about our life together here that I will never feel at home with. To be specific, my spirit cannot accommodate itself to our Concordia Advent. Advent among us is a kind of Advent 3-week intensive that mirrors exactly the experience I had at church last Sunday. Our pastor welcomed us to this new Advent season and gloried in the beauty of the way that the church celebrates the winter holy days. Advent reminds us that we don't have to rush to Christmas, he told us. In the next breath, he announced that our congregational Christmas party would be tonight, December 4th. Our Halloween star and Thanksgiving angels and Advent lights are as jarring to my spirit as lilies on Ash Wednesday or Alleluias on Good Friday. And there are certain events that happen here in December that I simply cannot participate in because they undermine my personal observance of this holy season. And knowing all this, our dean has chosen one of my favorite Christmas hymns to sing this morning. Over the years, I have experienced time and time again great benefit from bringing my life into conformity with the church's cycle of days and seasons, her way of telling time. I cannot remember ever finding it to be a good thing to force the church calendar to fit into my own. When it comes to Advent, I guess I prefer to be the ascetic demoniac. I'll wait until Christmas really gets here and then become the gluttonous drunkard. But this I must say, what we celebrate together on our campus is certainly the church worker's Advent. It is the Advent of someone who must always be thinking 2 or 3 weeks ahead of everyone else. It's the Advent of someone who has to be humming Christmas carols while the rest of the church is praying for the Lord to rip open the heavens and come down. It's the Advent of someone who is thinking about Magi when the church is trying to hear Isaiah. It is not the Advent of contemplation and learning to wait and expect and hope. It is the Advent of hurry up and plan ahead and get it done now. And the reading for today is a Concordia Advent reading. Although the question is voiced only once in our text, the question, "Are you the one?" could stand at the head of each of the three sections of our reading. Are you the one, or shall we look for another? This is the Baptist's question to Jesus. This is the crowd's question about John. This is the question of the Pharisees and lawyers about both Jesus and John. Are you the one, or shall we look for another? It's the question of someone who is always thinking ahead, always anticipating, wanting the answer now while there's still a time for a plan B. It's an epiphany question, really. A show me challenge, a prove it to me dare. But here we are asking it in the first week of Advent. Are you the one? Because it sure doesn't look like it yet. Now, the first paragraph of our text is for the preachers in the room this morning, and you can tell who they are by the worry on their faces and their inability to sit still. Luke has given us no indication whatsoever that John has been anything but faithful in carrying out his call to be the prophet of the Most High. And he gives us no reason to regard this question as anything but John's own. The voice that was to prepare the way, level the road, straighten the path, now voices the question, "Are you the one?" How John, desperate for a good word, must have practically pulled the report right out of the mouths of his disciples. "Tell John what you saw and heard." "Yes, yes," John says impatiently. "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Say liberty to the captives, say liberty to the captives. The lame walk, and lepers are cleansed. Say release to the oppressed, say release to the oppressed. The deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. Say, we are saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Say it. And the poor have good news preached to them. Say, visited and redeemed. Say, shown the strength of his arm. Say, horn of salvation. And happy is the one who is not offended by me." Where does this Concordia Advent find you, preacher? Yes, if the prophet with a capital P is asking such a question, what questions are going through your mind, preacher with a small p? What prison are you still trapped in? What is the one thing you need a savior to do for you that this one has not done for you yet? Can you afford to wait? Should you begin to look for another? Life and freedom are hanging in the balance. Can he still be the one who is to come for you? Can he be? How long and how hard you have proclaimed his way? Can you even tell if his foot has touched the path yet? Can you be one of his still happy, still hoping ones? Well, the next paragraph is for all the rest of us, those of us who listen to preachers and long for a good sermon. What had Jerusalem gone out to see? Well, of course, you don't walk clear out into the woods just so you can say you watched the leaves fall. Neither does anyone search for finery in wild places. They went to see a prophet. But was he one? Was he the one? Can the voice of divine judgment be itself subject to judgment? Can the word of such a one be entrusted? Can his coming mark the turning of the testaments when nothing new seems to follow, when the world just keeps on going in the same old ways? What of the heralds and forerunners and path clearers in your life? Can they really be the ones? Can they be speaking the words of the Most High, preparing the way of his coming? Do the tables of history turn on their words? They are a ragged bunch of carolers, to be sure. Do you feel like you're out from under the shadow of death now? Do you feel like you're walking on the way of peace yet? And finally, a warning for us all in the form of a miniature parable. "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep." What finally are we to make of this John and of this Jesus? They certainly didn't get their jobs because of their ability to work well with others. Whatever we ask of them, they refuse. It's as if they go out of their way to disappoint our expectations. Why can't they just play along? We say, "Don't come now. We're comfortable. We're happy. We're blessed." And the hospital calls. The tires skid. The rifle reports. The treatment fails. The famine devours. The shame spreads. The war rages. The heart breaks. The breath stops. We say, "Come quickly, Lord. We are tired. We are weakening. We are threatened." And he says, "And your neighbor? You've told him now? He now believes and won't perish? And your brother-in-law too? What about him? And those who persecute you, you've prayed for them, proclaimed to them? We blocked your number and still you called. We called and called, but you would not pick up." Taken as a whole, I think this text strikes me as the theological equivalent of the American Advent question. What do you want for Christmas? What do you want in a prophet? What are you hoping for this year in a Savior? If he's not the one, can we exchange him for another? Is there an extended warranty on this one to ensure that our expectations will be met even years down the road? Is there a new patch for this old prophet? What else do you have in the way of saviors that you can show me? I just can't make up my mind yet. But even Concordia Adventists know that this is not the season for returning gifts. No one takes back an unopened package. This is not our first time around the Christmas tree. We know that Advent is the season for shaking the boxes, for weighing them in our hands, for noting shapes and lengths and widths, for reading tags carefully. Could this Advent be different for us? Could we be wisdom's children this year instead of Walmart's? Could we stop shopping long enough to see what has already been given to us and what has been promised to us? Could we take the time to consider what we have seen and what we have heard? Could we retrace our steps along the way John led and see where he has brought us? Could we learn again what repentance means, and patience, and trust? Could we set aside our expectations for prophet and redeemer to see what they have, in fact, already done, what they are now actually doing, and what they will yet do? And can we be wise enough to see in all of this a justice, a rightness that can have its source in God alone? The word is still preparing a way. The good news is still reaching out to the poor. And if the one not offended by Jesus will be blessed, what about the one who takes delight in him? May this be the year. May this be the Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.